T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Patriots fall to the Chiefs 23-16.
And the Kansas City Chiefs have done what some thought was not possible. They have beaten the New England Patriots by a score of 23-16.
With some questionable calls.
Terrible officiating. That N'Keal Harry, clear as day, touchdown. Worst call of the game. Drives me crazy when you see the refs lumber across the field.
Pats fans cry foul and look for answers.
I'm sorry. I know that's never had a break. Give me a break. Cry me a river. Cry me a river. Cry me a river. Cry me a river. Yeah, was there some mistakes? Absolutely, and I loved it for one.
Keep it here for nonstop reaction. Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Back here at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday, Dale and Keith and Andy Hart, joined as we always are. Well, not always, but a lot of the times. Patriots defensive back Daron Harmon. Hello, Daron. How are you?
Well, good, sir.
I'm doing okay, thanks. We asked this earlier of James White, and I'm curious to get your take on this. When you have some calls that are going against you, and you think that some of these calls haven't gotten you know, what you were looking for, how do you then get your attention back on the task at hand, you know, get your head back on straight? Okay, that's passed. We can't do anything about it. We got a play we got to make here.
What it really comes down to is, I mean, you have to focus, like you said, on the task at hand. And at the end of the day, I mean, those calls were what they were. You can't do anything about it. Only thing you can do is just try to find ways to move forward, be better, and that's what we're going to do. I mean, we got a good opportunity this week going against the Bengals to go and get back in the win column. I mean, you know, we say it all the time, you know, real football season starts after Thanksgiving. It hasn't gone the way that we have hoped for and, you know, planned for it to go. But, I mean, we still have a lot of football left ahead of us, and we have to make sure that we're, you know, headed in the right direction and worrying about what we can control and what we can't.
On the Watkins-Gilmore play that sort of spilled out of bounds and they went down, what did you see on that? What was your thoughts?
Well, you know, two competitors going at it. I think they had a lot of, you know, history together. They played together with Buffalo. They always talked about how they love competing against each other, and that's all it was. Two guys competing, trying to get after it. You know, both of them playing in a atmosphere that you can't create any – where else? I mean, they're just fierce competitors going at it. And, you know, I just wanted to do my job, get Steph out of there. Obviously, yeah. We're all, you know, all in their sideline. Get him out of there and make sure he's good and just, you know, get back to, you know, playing good football.
It did seem a little, not that you guys haven't had kind of chippy games this season, but It seemed like a little bit more. Is that maybe because you guys are familiar, you had the AFC title game last year, just knowing that it's two of the best teams in the conference?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot goes into it. I think you know, obviously the AFC Championship game, they felt like they could have won that game. And, you know, they felt like they needed to come in here and make a statement and get a win. And, I mean, we felt the same way. I mean, we felt like it was a must-win for us. Obviously, we fell short, and they were victorious. But at the end of the day, it was just two great teams going at it. I mean, it was a great atmosphere last night. And just a little sad, obviously, that we, you know, we fell short and couldn't get the win.
We all screw up. We know that. I have typos in my stories all the time. There's nice people on Twitter that like to point it out. You miss tackles, refs miss plays, right?
Yeah.
But I talked to you about this last night. Is it more an issue in terms of the Gilmore-Kelce play that you're taught one thing all along? They're going to let the play out, and then the rubber meets the road, the game's on the line, it's a big game, and for some reason the whistle blew. Is that more frustrating?
Yeah, like you said, it's frustrating because obviously we're told certain things at the beginning of the year. Of how the game is going to be officiated, and then when it's officiated another way, I mean, it's just, you know, it's frustrating. But I said it last night. I mean, you just said it. We all make mistakes,
right.
And their job is very, very difficult. I mean, they have to make calls at the drop of a dime, instincts, and, you know, just seeing. They can't use, you know, just the video board that we use.
Right.
They're not allowed to look up at that. So, I mean, it's frustrating. But we just got to find ways to not put ourselves in situations like that. I mean, we can help ourselves by not starting, you know, down 20-7, 23-7. Like, we're a better team than that. We know that. And that's what we need to focus on rather than, you know, the calls that we wish we had and that didn't go our way.
It was almost a tale of two halves defensively for your team. First half, as you said, they kind of sprinted out to a lead, and you didn't look like you had many answers. Yeah. What did you guys do so differently in the second half?
We just was a little better fundamentally sound. I think we didn't really change any calls. We had some good disguise packages going that really helped us in to get back on track in passing situations, third down, that, you know, really, you know, had Mahomes hold on to the ball a little bit more and give our pass rush some more time to get there. In the first half, I mean, it was a couple of big plays that we gave up, and we know, I mean, that's how they score points, big plays. I mean, they have elite receivers and how fast they are. They're being able to get the ball in their hands and run after they make the catch. Like, we know that. So we just had to do a better job of being better on the big plays, obviously, and just making it harder for them. And when we did that, I mean, the second half, we got rolling, and we put ourselves in a position to be able to win the football game.
Does your technique or does anything change going up against a team that's so fast? Because you're used to playing fast guys every week, but this is sort of next level fast.
Sure.
So do you go into it thinking, all right, I got to change my approach? And maybe normally I would come flying in, but with these guys, they can make you miss and then they're gone.
Without a doubt, you have to. I think that goes with, you know, the idea of game planning and just being able to, you know, knowing who you're playing against. I mean, certain receivers are, you know, have good speed. Some have really good speed, and then some have elite speed. And they had three guys who had elite speed. So, obviously, you know, from a man-to-man standpoint, from the corners, I mean, their technique has to, you know, change a little bit. And as a deep safety as myself, it has to change too, because I know at any moment they can just, you know, come flying up on me. And you want to make sure that you're always over top and, you know, keeping everything in front of you.
Is there ever a case where you lose too much aggressiveness, though? And I'm wondering about the Hardman play. It's like he kind of got a little flat-footed, and then all of a sudden, he's gone.
Yeah. Well, I would say, well, like you said, I mean, that play how can I put it? I mean, something was going on in that play. Obviously, you're not trying to give away, you know, what we're doing as a defense. But, you know, that play, you go up on him, you know, I buzz my feet, and, I mean, he's a fast receiver. I mean, I could have did a better job of just trying to leverage him to, you know, obviously to the sideline. But, you know, coming from the middle of the field, you're coming up high, then you're coming down. And at that point, he has a two-way to go. And, I mean, he's a, you know, 4-3 receiver.
Right,
And I'm not going to lie, I'm not 4-3 at all. I know my limitations. But like I said, I mean, there's always things that you feel that you could do better. And I felt like maybe, you know, I should have tried to, you know, just try to force him, like take a hard angle inside to try to force him outside. But you live, you learn. That's a play that I'll learn from, a play that I'll work on to make sure that if I'm ever in that position again, I'll do a better job of just leveraging them and try to, you know, run them out to the sideline.
Rich mentioned how competitive it was last night, and it got a little nasty at times. Mm. Was there more chirping than normal? It seemed like there was a lot of chirping going on out there.
Yeah, it was some chirping. But I mean, in all reality, I think in games like that, that's what it's going to be.
There was some post game chirping.
Yeah,
too. You got some Chiefs guys saying, "Oh, I want to play them again."
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, if it happens, I mean, I would love that the opportunity to play them again. I mean, they're a really good football team. Obviously, one of the better teams in AFC. We know that. So it was a little chippy out there.
Who's the best talker on defense? Because I know for a few years it was Malcolm Butler. Everybody said talker. Butler was great at talking. Who do you got now?
The best talker. I would say KB does a lot of the talking for us. We'll leave it to him. Sometimes you got to kind of bring him back in. Yeah, and say, hey, all right, let's focus on the game. But I mean, he's a competitor. I mean, he's a guy that's gonna go out there, give us, you know, great effort each and every day, and gonna make plays for us. And he's gonna say a little bit why he's doing it as well.
Is Gilmore I know you don't play against him, but if I were a competitor, he would rub me the wrong way because he talks trash, it seems like, but it's a whisper.
Yeah.
And that would bother me. I'd rather you yell at me when it comes. Wait, did you just say I suck, but you whispered it? Like, that would frustrate the hell out of me.
He's a...
sneaky.
People, exactly. People don't realize how competitive Steph is. And when he gets out there... like off the field, like you said, he's quiet. He doesn't say much. I mean, he's a great guy. We love having him around and being around him. But when he steps in that line, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like we do, like, you know, one on ones with like the DBs on Fridays. Like, and he's trying to, like, you know, like get open, locking people down. And I'm just like, Steph, you know, this is like we're warming up right now, right? Like you can slow down a little bit. But I mean, that's the type of guy he is. I mean, as soon as he steps in between that line, just it's one thing. And he says each and every day, man, I can't allow my man to catch the ball. Like, the team is counting on me to be this type of player, and we are counting on him to be that type of player. He's a big part of what we do defensively, and he's a guy that I love having on my team and very appreciative of his efforts each and every day as a Patriot.
Is Travis Kelce as tough a tight end matchup as there is in the league right now?
Without a doubt. I mean, his quickness, his savviness, being able to catch the ball. And
big as a house.
Exactly. When he gets the ball, he's able to, you know, make yards after the catch. I mean, he's, you know, a complete tight end, and he had some good catches, but it was a lot of back and forth with, you know, our safeties on him and Dev and Pat. I think they did a tremendous job yesterday covering him because, I mean, he's probably the best tight end in the game.
Halftime, there was the crowd was booing. Now, it might have been more directed at the offense or the decision to sort of take the foot off the gas, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But still, not something you guys are used to hearing. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's our fans. I mean, they love us. I mean,
do you hear
it? Yeah, you hear it. I mean, and they expect a lot from us, and that's rightfully so. I mean, we know what we're capable of. They know what we're capable of, and they pay a lot of money to come see us play, and it's up to us to continue to try to put on a great effort and a great show every time we go out there, and we try to get it together in the second half. We play better in the second half. Made it a competitive game, and just fell a little short. We appreciate the love because, I mean, they can boo us bad at the end of the day. Nobody else can talk bad about us. So we'll take it.
You guys have played three great games now over the last year with the Chiefs, and each game has had huge swings in terms of first half, second half. They're putting up points. They're not putting up points. Mm. Is this as good a coaching matchup maybe as we – I mean, it seems like Andy Reid formations finds a way. Bill adjusts, Steve and Gerard adjust. Is that game within the game in this matchup more
without a doubt. I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, it's obviously, you know, you got great players on both sides of the ball. I mean, Chiefs, their roster up and down, great players. We have a lot of great players on our team as well. And then you taking the fact, like you said, the coaches. I mean, we have the best coach who's ever coached a game, and Andy Reid is one of the best, you know, play callers who have ever played a game. And obviously Steve and Gerard, you know, being – new to this, but you know, it's a chess match. It's we know that they're going to make adjustments. They know we're going to make adjustments. It's about who can make the adjustments faster, who can get, you know, comfortable faster, and who can make the plays to win the game.
James got a little salty when I asked him about Wisconsin football this past weekend. He didn't want to talk about it. Has Rutgers got the coaching thing finally right, do you think?
I believe so. I mean, Greg Schiano is a big part and a big reason why I am the player I am today. He put me on the path to, you know, trying to learn how to become a professional football player, teach me how to study, teaching me how to practice the right way, preparing off the field as much as I prepare on the field. And obviously when I got here, I felt like I was a step ahead of the curve. Obviously, I still had a lot to learn being a rookie and being a professional, but he helped position me to be a little ahead of the curve. So when I got here, I kind of knew what was going on, but I was able to obviously grasp on to some veterans like Devin, Gerard Mayo, Matt Slater, to learn how to be the professional football player I am today.
Did you put your money where your mouth is? Did you send them like $1 million and say, I want
I mean, I'm waiting on Dev. I mean, David, J. Matt, they got the big money. They got the bucks. And I mean, they can always split in half. They're twins. So we'll leave it on them.
Reopens the feeder system, too, back to New England.
Yeah, so that's
been a
good.
Few years
that's
19 more Rutgers guys in here.
Starting my draft prep now, all Rutgers. Just start looking at everybody.
Yeah, there we go.
Deron, we appreciate the time as always.
No
Thank
problem.
You.
Have
good
a good
to
one,
see
guys.
You. Deron Harmon joining us as we continue on here at Gillette Stadium. Patriots getting ready, as you heard Duran say, for the Cincinnati Bengals. It's that classic. We're on to Cincinnati.
Yes, it is.
Trot the Bill
Very
Belichick
timely.
Line back out.
It is, in fact, on to Cincinnati.
Tom Brady has already put it out on social media.
I saw a little meme already.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you remember back when it was really on to Cincinnati? That's when Cincinnati was actually good.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, that followed a Kansas City loss.
Correct. 100%. But that was September.
Right. Yes.
And if you remember back then, remember Gronk was big post-game saying, I was going to make 12-12 again? Like, he felt
like
Brady
needed propping
up.
Very emotional after that.
Like, they needed to get Brady back to being Brady. Not sure who's going to step up and get 12 back to being 12.
That was also after the Kansas City game that time. That was when Mike Giardi did the, are you going to reassess the quarterback situation?
Oh, yeah.
Hilarious.
Should he ask that this week?
Speaking of getting salty.
I don't think Giardi likes Stidham as much as he liked Jimmy.
No, you don't think?
I don't think.
Jimmy looks good.
Jimmy won
a shootout.
Jimmy looked really good.
Jimmy said, we're not just riding a defense. We can win a shootout.
I'm not that high on Garoppolo overall. Like, I don't know if he's going to be like this all-pro quarterback, but yesterday was not an example for that.
And this year he's been good.
He's been good. Oh, he's been winning.
But for earlier in the year, it was a little
like
the Patriots.
Defense,
right.
It was
defense.
Very defense.
Now Jimmy went out and said, Jimmy can score.
48 against the now Emmanuel Sanders threw one of those touchdowns. Emmanuel Sanders lighting the world on fire. But yeah, it was a big win for the Niners.
Now you brought it up with Duran. We haven't really talked about this yet. It was a bit of a jar to hear the fans here boo the team off the field at halftime.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand that they weren't happy with the performance at that time, but it is kind of an indication of kind of a spoiled fan base, isn't it?
Yes, but I also would ask, do you think they were not happy with the performance, or was it directly related to they had two timeouts?
I think,
just kind
I think
of
it had
put
more,
the ball away, didn't try?
I think it had more to do specifically with the lack of going for it there to end
me
the
too.
Half. I think it was more the decision-making specifically, but you could also tie it into them trailing 20-7,
sure.
And the offense hasn't gotten any better over the last several weeks, and you know maybe you're mad with some of the decision-making overall.
Are you guys booers?
I'm not.
Yeah, no. Sure. Yeah, I'll boo.
I could definitely see.
Yeah, I'll boo.
I could see more than boos.
I'll
from
holler
you.
At you a little bit. No,
you suck, jackass!
No, but I think the fans had 100% right to boo. Like Harmon said, you pay a
well,
lot of money.
Well, they always have the right.
Because I don't want this fan base to be the St. Louis Cardinals, where everything's great no matter what. You win a World Series, of course it's great. You lose in the wild card round, that's great. Hey, nice season, you got there. No, that's not right.
Oh, I'd much rather have boos than indifference.
Yes.
They
and
were
that's
not
the
indifferent.
Thing.
They booed. They cared.
And they deserved to boo. They were coming off of a loss. This is the first time they'd really looked
10-3,
this bad.
Rich. They're going to win the division.
Yeah, right, exactly. Then don't boo.
Greatest dynasty the sports has ever seen, and you're booing them.
But it shouldn't be like it drives
Get a
me nuts.
Clue, clown.
There are different sections of fans. Some think that every move they make is right. Everything they do is right. They would have won the game because
That's
of the refs.
That's the Jermaine Wiggins camp.
They would have done,
yes.
They would have done all
they're
that.
They're called Wiggies.
Yeah, you can't. Nothing is wrong. The refs screwed them or something screwed them.
They did.
They screwed them, but not out of a win, I don't think.
No.
But the point is, I had no problem with the boos, and I think the players know that they would much rather have that than nobody showing up to the games or just said, you know, oh, because they won the Super Bowl last year, you can't boo them this year? Like, come on.
No, I think
that's
you treat
not how it should work.
Individually, just like you treat the moves, like the in Bill, you trust people.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but if he blows a move, I can't say he blew the move. Like, I know his past.
Oh, what, are you smarter
good.
Than him?
Yeah, like, maybe
oh,
I am.
God. Yeah, right. I wouldn't have taken Dominic Easley. Sue me.
Both went to the NESCAC.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think that it was as I said, it was a bit jarring. And none of the players who have been asked, including Duran, denied that they heard it.
Oh,
they all
no.
said, oh, no. Yeah, I heard
oh,
it.
Hard
like Brady's
hear.
Positive spin. You hear cheers, you hear boos. He started with cheers. Like, I've heard a lot
yeah.
of cheers
oh,
here,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
And yesterday, they were chanting various Brady things at various points throughout
oh,
the
yeah.
game.
Oh, yeah, and they were fired up. They were right there when he picked up that first down.
Yeah.
When he was running with it, they were going crazy. They were chanting Brady because they know Brady's got three more games here. So they're going to cheer for him.
Wow.
You better cheer for him.
So you got him on the road, huh? Not
He's
fourth.
Gone.
No. They get a playoff game.
Yeah, three.
Yeah, there's three regular season games left.
Yeah, but they're
oh,
all home.
Oh, not here. You're right. There are
there's
three
two,
left
three,
here.
Three here.
So you watch one on the road, maybe two. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's on. It. Then he's gone. But, you know,
I still, you're going to yell at me.
Yeah.
I don't think that's getting enough attention.
No, you're right. It's the biggest
People
story
are
in sports.
Generally assuming Brady is in his final three home games, and it's kind of, yeah, like, it's there, but it's not, like, he's Tom Brady. And
well,
he's leaving.
If you talk about it, it makes it more real, and you don't really
so we'll
want
just
it
avoid
to
it.
Be...
We're ostriches.
Yes,
head,
yes,
sand,
yes.
Berries.
I want to avoid
yes.
it. Yeah.
Why?
Just ignore it until
maybe
it
if we freak out, it won't happen.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think we have much of a say.
I think we have no say. Despite
I want to share my
say.
Ostrich story with you.
We have. I didn't know you had an ostrich drop.
He had an ostrich story. Yeah, one guy wanted to tell us his ostrich story.
But Dale,
story.
We speak to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people at the time. We can sway public opinion. Millions?
I don't know about
okay.
that.
Okay. We can sway. I was hundreds thinking of hundreds of thousands was nice, actually. We can sway public opinion. We can't just sit on our hands.
Well, there was that one caller that thought it was the media's fault for Antonio Brown getting cut.
The media.
He blamed
the media
for that.
Ran him
so maybe he's going to blame the media for Tom Brady playing somewhere else next year.
But
it was not.
Well, I mean, if
you think it had something to do with Antonio Brown,
if
Klemko
hadn't written the story about
the
artist.
They kept him after that. Oh, but then you mean the follow-up.
So that never happened. So, I got to think
the fans
are right on that.
Blame Klemko specifically.
It's all Klemko's fault.
Don't blame us.
It's personal. It's the media who is
had nothing to do with
Klemko.
It.
I blame Klemko.
All right, we'll leave it at that then.
Okay.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Tom Brady was on this morning on the Greg Hill Show, as he always is on Mondays. We've got our Tom Brady midday replay coming up in just a couple of minutes, but it's time to trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. To check the time as it's.
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I have.
You just said noon 30.
Call that.
You
what
love
you
it.
Call
noon
it for 30.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
On Mondays for noon 30, we bring you our Tom Brady midday replay. It's brought to you by Needham Bank. Can we be your bank? Tom Brady on this morning on the Greg Hill Show, as he is every Monday. And, but we all noticed even his post-game demeanor was different last night than it's been here of late.
Yes.
It was even better than after they beat Buffalo, for crying out loud.
Oh, it's been better. Yeah, they had a couple of wins where he sounded much worse
yes.
than this.
And I think he trended, though, the last couple of weeks. He's intentionally, even last week in Houston, he ended with that little joke about Stacey James, like, no, that was the last one, Stacey, class dismissed, and he had a smirk.
Yeah.
So I think he's trying to be positive.
I don't know if it was just him coming up with it on his own or somebody sort of talked to him and said, this is what you sound like, and this is taking a lot of attention. Because there was even a couple of weeks ago where he was talking to Greg Hill, and he's like, that didn't sound bad, right? Or like, what did you think I sounded like? Like right. He's like kind of half joking about like, I answered that fine, right?
Eeyore Brady.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's start it off with obviously the bad calls that happened last night. We started the show by talking about them. There were a bunch of them, and it seemed as though virtually not all, but most of them went against the Patriots. So Brady was asked about the frustration about being on the other end of bad calls.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, when you play sports long enough, I think sometimes you're the recipient of, you know, things that go your way, and then you're on the other side of it too. So, I mean, for me, I don't think too much about them. I mean, I mean, I wish they would, you know, go our way, and unfortunately they didn't, but it doesn't take away from, you know, when you watch the game, you know, all the different things that, you know, we had in our control that I wish we could have done a little bit better. And, you know, we're just trying to keep grinding them out and put ourselves in a position there at the end with four plays in the red area and just didn't produce well enough, you know, to get the job done. So, you know, I don't ever make any excuses, and I've certainly never blame the referees. You know, I just look at what we got to do and how we got to go out there and try to get back to work this week and find a way to go to Cincinnati and get a win.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where they definitely got screwed. Like, there was calls that were blown on the field. But I think what Brady's also getting at there is after all of those plays, they also missed opportunities themselves.
Right. And right? Before.
And before.
Like, even Duran just said, don't go down 20-7.
Right. You dig yourself a huge hole. So you're down 20-7 at the half. And at the half, we weren't saying that the refs were horrible. Not that they had, like, the stellar first half, but there was no, like, glaring, just disgusting call. But again, you go to the second half. Gilmore should have been able to run with the ball, and we should have been able to see what happened there. It didn't happen. You at least got the ball. N'Keal Harry scored a touchdown on that drive, but they didn't call it a touchdown. But Jacoby Myers drops a pass in the end zone. So they should have scored a touchdown there. And then if you go to the Philip Dorsett play where he gets mugged, it's clearly pass interference. But guess what? That wasn't fourth down. In fact, Brady then has this great scamper after that, setting up in a first and goal situation. So those calls screwed them. They made them make other plays after that, which they couldn't do.
Good teams overcome.
They would have. Yeah.
By the way, how long do you think it took Tom to run 17 yards?
Took him a little. I mean, a little. Like,
once he got going, though, he was cruising.
Oh, cruising.
Nice slide too. Didn't even catch the
brace
or anything.
Do you think if Tyreek Hill started at the goal line, he would have been able to catch him? The opposite goal line.
He might have been able to.
I mean, there was so much green grass or green field turf there. Like, I guess they must have been in man coverage and everything.
Oh,
went
yeah,
the other
it opened
way.
Up.
And it was just opened. I heard some fans, like, criticizing him. He should have kept running.
No.
He would have been murdered by the Honey Badger.
Yeah, because now we'd be talking about Stidham starting against the Bengals, potentially.
No, he did the right thing.
Yes, get the bleep
get
down.
Get the first down and hit the ground.
GTF down.
So, as we talked with Daron Harmon about, the team got booed as they left the field at halftime here at Gillette Stadium. Brady was asked this morning if the booing bothered him.
No, I think, you know, look, we've had millions of people show up for our you know, winning celebrations or our rallies after we won Super Bowls. So, you know, I think when you play sports, you know, nothing's guaranteed. And, you know, you have wins, you have losses, you have highs, you have lows. You have, you know, just great, thrilling wins, and you have very tough losses. And I think how you handle those things, you know, with, I would say, gracefully is what's most important to me. So, you know, everyone has the right to do whatever they want to do and feel how they want to feel. And, you know, we as a team, you know, obviously feel, you know, very disappointed when we lose games. So, you know, you just take it for what it is and you try to move forward and, you know, do the best you can do. And I mean, that's what everyone's trying to do out there.
I mean, I will say, you know, he talked about, you know, losing gracefully or whatever his phrase was. Mahomes was tracking him down post game. Mahomes sprinted from like 30 yards away to make sure he went and shook his hand.
And by the way, speaking of post-game handshakes, it just further proves how much Bill Belichick hates Bill O'Brien. He would have walked by Bill O'Brien without saying anything. Bill O'Brien had to turn and grab his arm and get a two-second handshake worse than Eric Mangini. And that's after a loss. This was also after a loss. Bear hug to Andy Reid, and who knows how long that conversation was.
Whispered sweet nothings into his ear.
They love each other, and that's fine.
They once made a trade because they wanted to make a trade. Remember they swapped picks in the draft, like the sixth or seventh round?
Listen,
they just
fine.
Swapped picks. I think Bill went from the pick before to the because they wanted to continue some streak of trades or something. Like, they are just kissing cousins.
But also, going back to the
them kissing.
Yes, I could. The walrus. His little mustache.
Sloppy.
But
lunch in there.
Going back to the booing, though, if you don't mind.
Yes.
I think it definitely had a lot to do with the offense was bad in the first half, clearly, but it was also them kind of giving up on things because they get the ball on their own 41 because they kick off, but then there's an unnecessary roughness penalty on the Chiefs. So the Patriots have the ball with a minute to go at the 41. They run a play to Edelman. They get 5 yards. Then they take a sack, and then they were just kind of like they were kind of done with it.
I think the sack is when they said, okay, let's get out of here before we get in.
And they had two timeouts, I believe,
yes.
At the time?
Yes.
Which I also think is interesting. Brady's elbow's not feeling great. Because I've heard people say, like, why not even just try a Hail Mary attempt? Well, A, who's going to catch it?
Sanu will
throw it.
Who do
we have that can go up and get it?
Sanu can throw it.
And I don't want Brady putting everything he has into some throw on an arm that's been keeping him from the practice field. And, oh, by the way, got iced afterwards, which I thought was interesting that Tom
put it out
said,
there.
Yeah. Oh, I took a helmet right on the elbow.
We'll let we'll go out of order here.
Yeah,
we'll go out of order here, John, because otherwise Andy's going to read the entire quote verbatim anyway. So we'll go to the question he was asked this morning about how his elbow is. And I messed up John because we went out of order because
here.
Now Andy
nice job, John. The other way to go, John.
You, Andy.
How's the elbow feeling?
It's all right. I just took a helmet right on the inside of it, so... Just, you know, typical football game, so nothing that I haven't dealt with before. Just going to try to get some extra treatment and hopefully be 100% for next week.
I thought that's more than they normally share about anything.
Right, and he offered it up last night, too.
He goes to the podium with his elbows wrapped.
Yeah, but he's iced his shoulder and elbow before. And, oh, by the way, he's been on the injury report with an elbow missing practice time.
Right.
So he should just say, yeah, you know, typical football stuff, just, you know, being smart, icing it. No, he tells you.
Inside of the elbow.
This isn't the same thing that's hurt me in practice.
Right.
This is, I took a helmet.
Additional.
This is an injury. This is a new thing. I thought that was weird. He offered it up.
He did.
Sorry, I screwed up your...
That's
order.
All right. We'll go back to the order we were at before that.
What else do you want me to talk about?
So one of the things that we've made the observation, others have made the observation, that Tom didn't seem to be quite as frustrated as we've seen him in previous games, even after previous wins. The Buffalo game, he seemed really frustrated. And I guess what Greg wanted to know was whether that was because the Patriots had the chance to win the game last night or he was encouraged by the offense.
Well, I think, like I said, I think after a game, you know, I have – a lot of emotions. There's not one, I would say, domineering emotion. You know, you just sometimes when you catch someone at the wrong time or the wrong moment, I mean, you're feeling a certain way and you just work through the different emotions, and there's a lot of them. And, you know, it's I think I'm, you know, disappointed when we lose, and I got home and watched the game and watched it this morning and you know, took some positives from it. And obviously there's things that we got to do a better job of and more consistently, kind of like, you know, I've been saying all season.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, it really just comes down to all of us and our ability to focus and concentrate and make the plays that they're needed. So, like I said, there's no magic play to call or there's just a, you know, we just got to go do it. We as players got to take it into our own hands and have ownership of the offense and, you know, go out there and when our number's called, make the plays that need to be made.
Like he's been saying all season.
Yeah.
I don't like that. You know why?
Because nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed.
Actually, it's gotten worse.
You're running out of season.
You
have 3 weeks
left. It's
actually
gotten worse.
I know we overuse this quote ad nauseum,
yeah,
but the Bill Belichick, I can't get this team to do what I want
09.
To do in 09.
I thought this team had a little bit of 09 in them.
And now
the offense does,
it's
I
sort of
say.
Brady saying,
yeah,
like I've been saying all season, if we can just do stuff.
Well,
and
not to be a real wise guy here. At the risk of being a wise guy, Brady said in that answer that, you know, it took some positives away from
name
the game.
Three.
What, name one. What, like, I'm not even trying to be like,
like
a snarky Twitter guy. What were the positives on offense?
The positives on offense. Trick plays hit better than they have.
They ran a couple of successful trick plays.
Well executed.
Yep. And again, I go back
to the bad news here is that's what you have to do now. Because
Julian
you can't
Edelman,
line up and run your normal offense.
Julian Edelman, I would say, produced.
Edelman was good. Yeah, Edelman was good, but then again, you put him in such a difficult spot at the end of the game.
But I would say he was more consistent this week. I thought last week Edelman and White were fluff against prevent numbers. I thought this week they did a little bit more. A third would be the quarterback used his legs efficiently.
Oh, my God. So now trick plays, Edelman,
and Tom Brady
scramble.
Running.
And I would even say the Edelman thing is... You know he's good. You know he's reliable.
So does the other team, unfortunately.
So fine.
But he still produces.
All right, so fine. So if that's your answer for him producing, that's great. But that still doesn't put you in anywhere better situation going forward. Because that's the one guy you have. And, okay, he continues to do it. Good for him. He'll make the Pro Bowl this year. Love that.
Cue the sounder. What else you got?
Yeah, what's their second option right now?
And that leads us to the next question about why Mohamed Sanu has not been more involved in the offense.
Well, we were trying to get him the ball in different times, and, you know, sometimes the coverage dictated go somewhere else. But he's doing a great job, and he's, you know, really a tough, hard-nosed guy that wants the ball, and he's competitive. And, you know, I got to I got to do a better job finding him and getting him the ball because he can do good things with it. And, you know, just love the way he's come in and his attitude. And, you know, he's been a very hardworking guy. And, you know, going to keep trying to find ways to get him the ball because you got to get the ball to guys who can make plays. He's one of them.
He is one of them?
He is. He is one of them.
I'm not sure I buy it.
He is one of them.
That is Tom Brady whistling past the graveyard, isn't
well,
it?
Well, if you believe reports that Brady wanted him and was a voice of...
What's the most points the offense can score realistically in a playoff game?
21.
Yeah. Dale's probably...
I would go a little higher.
Look at this guy. Pom-poms. No,
I did work for the team for 20 years.
No, but that's what it kind of feels like. And even that, even the 21, does it's like, well, one of those has to be a short field.
Well, I'm assuming the defense is going to give him a short field somewhere.
I think the defense can help you out. But I think
they'll pick off a ball.
Is this offense better or worse than the 2015 Broncos offense? Because that was atrocious. Peyton Manning threw more picks than touchdowns. Like, Peyton Manning was worse, but he also had more skill around him.
And this quarterback is better.
100% better.
Yeah. So this offense is better. Yeah, automatically, this quarterback is better.
But what about the line and, like, the receivers? The receivers are better for Denver.
Remember that was the game where, what's his name, the tight end, they ripped Jamie Collins because he scored two
Daniels.
Owen Daniels. Like, you could have a game where all of a sudden Ben Watson has two touchdowns from Brady.
You could?
You could.
You could?
Really?
What's that?
If Owen Daniels
They're allowed to do
came,
it now. Owen Daniels.
People like to call him the skeleton of Owen Daniels in that game. You don't think there's a chance that Ben Watson
pulled
could have
the pants off of Jamie Collins.
I just, it's possible.
All right,
I'm not saying I'm voting for it.
He's
like
betting all his money. He's all in on the Pats.
No.
So finally, of course, the player of the game, Julian Edelman, with the flea flicker play, and Tom was asked how long they've been holding on to that trick play.
That was pretty good. I mean, we always kind of talk about those things, and, you know, they were pretty aggressive on the run, and Jules, you know, made a really good play kind of finding the open part of the field. It was a great little move he made to get some separation, and you know, Janus made a great pitch. That was great execution, and I think when you look at the level of difficulty of a play like that or the halfback pass, you know, those are not easy plays to execute. There's a kind of multiple different things happening, and the fact that we're able to do it, you know, it was a great call by Josh, and it was great to get off to a fast start. You got to keep that momentum throughout the game. That was a good way to start the game.
Did it feel like a fast start?
Well, there was a couple of nice.
I mean, they were up
pass
7
interference
nothing.
Penalties.
I was going to say it seemed a little disjointed, and you needed some help.
I know you scored, and it's early, so I guess that counts as a fast start. But I'd much rather have seen 10 yards, 10 yards, 12 yards, like just precision, move it down the field. And I don't.
Do you think that though? That again, James White was at the center of that trick play as well. He was the guy that had to hold it, looked like he was running, and flip it back.
Yeah.
It just seems like the last couple of weeks has really been more so than normal. Sony Michel's done. Like, Sony Michel is not a factor in the offense anymore.
Well,
because James White's also getting more carries. Like, not just more snaps, he's getting more carries
than
Michel.
They tried to make him a factor, I thought, more successfully in Houston. That first drive down to the throw.
Yeah, and he did his part.
Thing,
yeah.
And then they kind of put him away. This week,
yeah, this week
they put him away because there was no production. It was five carries, 8 yards,
right.
A catch for 1 yard. There was nothing there in terms of his touches.
Right.
And how long do you continue to say, well, he flipped the switch last year, and but he was also better during the regular season last year.
He struggled a little bit early, but he was working his way in.
He was a late arrival, productive, got hurt, came back. But when he was out there, he was relatively productive. Everything is worse this year with him. And, you know, as James White said, some of it's the line, not finishing blocks and all that. I just think some of it's him not maximizing runs.
I agree.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We get right back to the calls with you. OMF coming up at 2 o'clock. Bill Belichick will be on with them around 5:30. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart down at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. Sports Radio WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now back to Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Every time he touched the ball, there was a chance it was going the distance. Tannehill. Under pressure, going to throw it deep, has his man open down the middle of the field, and he's got him! A.J. Brown to the end zone for the touchdown! 91 yards!
You guys convinced me that Tannehill's good.
Is there anybody in America who cares as much about Ryan Tannehill as those two dopes?
Tannehill is real deal. They're 6-1 with Ryan Tannehill as their starting quarterback. And news this weekend was that the Tennessee Titans are going to lock up Ryan Tannehill long term, which has a lot to do with the New England Patriots and their future, because Tom Brady, that was one of the spots a lot of people kind of rumored with Mike Vrabel down there. Would he go to Tennessee? And if they're bringing the Tannehill there long term, cross off the Titans. Yep. Yeah. Very relevant. I mean, it is. It's very.
I would also cross off the Titans as a AFC Super Bowl contender.
They are a playoff team, though.
No, they're fine.
They're getting
team.
In there.
Do you think they'll if they sign him to a long term contract, will they live to regret it?
Well, I mean, who else would they get?
Brady. No.
I mean, they had Marcus Mariota. Drafting Marcus Mariota two screws the franchise more than giving Tannehill a lot of money.
Yes, but I didn't ask that question. Will you regret it?
No.
Is he a guy you can win with?
Yes.
Win, not little win. Where's this voice in my ear? Not little win,
chime.
Big win.
What are you talking about? That's a shime chime.
Big win, big W.
I think, my response would be, who do you want them to spend money on? So, okay, so Brady. 1 year of Brady. And he may not even go there.
No, probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
So you try to convince Brady to sign, and he doesn't. Meanwhile, Tannehill goes and signs with the Chargers, and then you're screwed.
No, Brady's going to the Chargers.
Oh, got it.
That's where it's going to succeed. Future owner of the Chargers, setting up TB12 in SoCal.
You like that Chargers team? They had a nice win yesterday. They were all excited because they knew Brady was on his way.
So
they played really
That's why
really
everybody's
hard.
Happy. Yeah. They all think Brady's coming. Good Miami, point. Tennessee. Yeah.
By the way,
who else?
Ben Volen, writing in the Boston Globe, quotes former NFL supervisor of officials Jim Deopoulos.
Yes.
Talking about the officiating crew yesterday. I didn't feel it was up to the standards that are necessary to work in the National Football League.
I agree.
That's about as nicely as you can put it, isn't it?
It's like James Ferentz at center.
Can confirm they worked here. That's the what the phone call will be when they look for new employment.
They started and ended the game. That's how they did. Yeah, that was not great.
Maybe they'll get a job in the XFL when they're done.
Could be. That'd be nice.
Be fun.
Nice little storyline there.
They get more cameras there, too. You'll have like a camera on your hat.
Cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
I like that.
I just want a microphone to hear Jerome Bogar speak.
Oh yeah,
I love hearing
Howden.
Howden.
It was Howden on play.
I do like hearing him talk.
Yeah,
I don't like hearing
no,
him
everything
make
else,
any calls.
Not great.
Bill didn't love hearing him talk or reading him talk.
Bill's
in the pool report.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound.
He
like.
He didn't like Mike Reese's pool report questions
didn't
either.
Didn't seem like it, did he? He was left wanting more.
Because all he asked about was the Harry play, and he got a bad answer. That's not Mike's fault. Mike at least asked the question about that, but left out the Gilmore play, left out the Dorsett play. Again, the Gilmore one, I've more questions on.
Me too.
Like, what are you doing there? How
the
do you
players
not let
do.
That one play?
And again, I get back to, you know, we're told a certain way it's going to be officiated, and you did not officiate it that way. Whether you screwed up something or not, you didn't officiate it the way you're supposed to.
And wasn't it years ago, too, with that one that they couldn't even award the turnover, right? There was something.
Yeah, that was
I think
the
they changed that finally.
Was that like a Hockley Chargers game or something?
Because then, because it was like, well, we can really only challenge the spot now. You can't he fumbled, but it's just their ball there. Like, there was a whole weird thing, and at least they finally changed that because it's not like the Patriots didn't get the ball out of that. They just didn't get what could have been the play.
Are we all, like, the college thing, I know everybody promotes that as just let it be a guy in a booth, and he looks at it, and when something bad happens, tell him to meet,
yeah,
like Jeopardy, buzz down, and fix it.
Yeah, I'm with that. What's wrong with that?
I don't really understand.
It would seem so simple.
There is never going to be perfection. He may do it when he shouldn't, and you slow the game down a little bit.
Do you think he would have buzzed down and said, yeah, that's interference? on Philip Dorsett. I mean,
I don't know about that.
No,
just be the way interference has been weird. I think sure as hell he would have. The only one
that would have been overturned is in the eye in the sky would have been the Harry one because
right. Well, that one would have been easy.
The Gilmore one was on the field. You can't buzz down during the play and say let it go. Like that's right. That's them screwing
but
it up.
But that's
as
where
it goes.
They screwed it up, even with the way the system is in place to not screw it up.
Right.
They found a way to screw something up that is unscrew upable.
What about robots? You guys coming around
so
on my robots?
On robots?
No, and I'm also not
I don't think
big,
they would have blown those calls.
I'm also not big on put a GPS tracker in the ball and the like
put one in everybody's spikes,
I
put them
think
in the
that
ball.
Is up to par.
Put them
Does
in the
your
popcorn?
GPS in your car ever like screw up and tell you you're on a road you're not on?
I don't use GPS. I have a great
what
travel
you,
skills.
That's the slow ski turtle. My entire body is a compass actually.
His whole body is a compass. Yeah.
Great sense of direction.
Will is in Warwick. Hey Will, how you doing?
Hey,
Will.
I'm here.
Hi. Go ahead.
I'm here.
Oh, good.
Hey, first of all, I just want to point out real quickly, I'm a Jets fan. I know. It's awful. It's the worst. It's the worst. I'm,
you can
no
rent
lie.
A car,
it's the worst.
You know?
But hey, my fiance is a Patriots fan, so I was watching the game last night. And let me just voice my support from the least of places that it should be expected from a Jets fan. That was absolutely awful. I don't think we need to go over all the reasons. But one thing that I don't see being talked about anywhere, like ESPN, like no one's talking about it this morning, is that fumble recovery that should have gone for a touchdown. I mean, it's not just the points that you cost them; it's also all the time that they needed to get back into the game. Like they had that drive took all the rest of the time that they had available to them. But yeah, that's the point I was trying to make. I don't know if anybody's even talking about that. But also about the booing, man. I've been a Jets fan for 20 years. That's disgraceful. Like, don't be the Colts, all right? Like, be appreciative. I would have loved to be born a Patriots fan, but I was not.
Right.
It didn't
what are you
end up that way.
What are you, a Jets fan?
Yeah, I'm a Jets fan. Oh, okay. It's horrible.
Cry me a river.
Cry me a river. Oh, don't ever sing river. Again.
Oh, some people
that's
can good. Sing, but some
no,
can't?
It's Tuesdays.
No, none of
yeah,
them.
That's my job, Andy.
It's Tuesdays.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I am not... I didn't really
understand the time thing you just brought up.
With a Jets fan. I am not sold that it would have been a touchdown. Maybe Gilmore returns it to the house. The Chiefs have a million speed guys. There also wasn't like nobody between him and the end zone.
Three guys at least. It was Hill, yeah. Mahomes, and a lineman.
So I don't think it's necessarily a touchdown.
I'm a Jets fan.
But they had plays, but that was what late third quarter into the top early fourth. Like I don't think that was it. In fact,
it took them like 4 minutes.
And even with all of that, they had the ball inside the 10, down 7. Late in the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, even with all of that, they could have tied the game if they executed, you know, late in the fourth. So,
Dave's in Rhode Island. Hey, David.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
How are you?
Colts.
Hey, not too bad. I just wanted to – I called because of the officiating. My son, a shout-out to the East Providence Junior Town. He's called you. They won the Super Bowl this
good
year.
Nice.
But, my son sat there and watched the game with me, and he was like, right. Dad, he goes, these officials are worse than ours. And he goes, they're supposed to be professional.
Right.
So,
yeah, he's, I mean, he was on to something.
The guy doing his game made like $42.
That's the one. No, actually, the guys that do his game, they get $400.
$400 for
oh my
youth
God.
Football officiating?
I got to go put a call in.
Yeah, for 12U, yeah.
I can.
Well, that's not right.
He was so upset that he actually sent Roger Goodell in jail last night. He was like, Roger Goodell, Mr. Goodell, you got to do something about
it. Roger Goodell hasn't been anywhere lately. Roger Goodell is in the federal witness protection
program. Collecting a paycheck.
Don't you wish that guy's son called in? He had a lot to say.
Yeah. Have your son call back.
He's just kind of parroting in some states.
I've been a Jets fan for 20 years.
Oh, well, that's a different
guy. Guy was a Jets fan.
$400?
To do a like a Pop Warner
one
game?
One game? That doesn't sound like it can be right.
No, it's got to be like, oh, you got to do a quadruple header or something like that. Even then.
Or it's
for
the
season.
Even then
I'm doing it. For the season.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay, season would make sense.
Yeah.
But if...
A game?
I mean, I'm having a career change.
Yeah,
if I
what
go make
town are you in? What town can afford that?
Holy Moses.
But Wellesley, Newton, Weston. Yes. Actually, there's probably a few that could.
More than .com pays, so...
Yeah, no kidding. I'm yes. out.
Yep.
Peace.
AJ's in Falmouth. Hey, AJ.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
I wanted to talk about, nobody's really talking about that.
No.
Backup center that we had starting
James
last night, James Flint.
Yeah.
I think he got beat multiple times. A lot of that pressure was coming up the middle, either blitz or from the nose tackle.
Yeah.
Definitely did.
Yeah, I mean, no.
They're sort of running out of bodies to put at that position.
Anytime you're at your third, anything, as Bill would say, a third center.
No, so we did talk about it a little bit earlier in the show.
Son of one of your former assistants.
He's not an NFL lineman. He's just not, and he probably more belongs on the practice squad or maybe even coaching. What happened, Andy? Do you know, remember the guy they signed that was the Bills center?
Russ Bodine.
What happened to him? Is he out of football?
No idea. I believe he's out of football. I do not know what happened.
He started every game of his career.
Correct.
Except for a couple, right?
I
think.
No, I believe every game he played.
Oh, every game he played,
right.
He missed a couple games due to injury.
But he
late
started
last year. They brought him in. I was like, okay, that's going to be your Andrews replacement. And then they cut him, and you're like, oh, maybe this is a roster manipulation, and he's going to be back. He's just like, poof, gone.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened that quickly. Yeah, he hasn't popped up. Injury. I don't know.
Because even
where
that dude, Veld here, all of a sudden came out of retirement.
Yeah, their weird offseason, which has happened many times over the years.
Yeah.
Their weird Veld here, Schwenke. Yeah. Then they had to scramble, trade for Bodine.
Right.
He retired. That whole weird, I don't know what was going on there.
The O-line.
I mean, Ferentz is a really nice guy.
I'm sure he is.
Here we go. We're back to the
nice
guy.
Listen, I have no problem with the person. The player, useless.
What'd you say about Scar?
I don't know.
No, I mean, they're all nice people.
Yeah, but we don't need to judge them on if they're good people or not. That's not
right,
the point.
That's true.
You're not filling up Gillette Stadium to watch a bunch of good people.
The problem you have here is if you get a bunch of injuries at one position, you can't overcome
right.
that.
Bill,
I mean,
your
third
it.
Center, that's for, I mean.
Yeah. If you got three wide receivers who get hurt, well, you're probably screwed.
Let's say you're down to your fifth kicker. You think he's going to be any good?
By the way, did you see the Dallas Cowboys are working out Kai Forbath today?
Why not?
Jeez.
Going back to the booing at halftime thing,
yes.
This is the other thing I wanted to point out. So not only did they kind of give up on it, but one of the reasons they probably gave up on it was field goal range for them is different than a lot of other teams. Like, you don't get down to the 40 and try like this bomb of a field
goal. Give it away.
Just, you gotta get down to like
barely,
the 20.
Yeah, they barely tried any 40-plus. They tried a 41 earlier in the game. It got blocked.
Yeah, right. That was not Folk's fault.
No.
Sometimes a block kick is the kicker's fault. Yeah, that was just right up the gut.
Oh, really?
There.
I hadn't heard.
Oh, yeah. Poor
he has not been great.
Is he a nice guy?
I actually don't know if he's a nice man.
So
I'm not willing
to
go there. No, I can't speak on that.
Listen, he better be.
He's had a couple feuds with some on Twitter with some reporters, so maybe not.
He better be a great
but
guy.
Who hasn't had a feud or two on Twitter? I certainly have had
that's
my
all,
share.
That's your problem.
You think?
I am not a nice guy.
Responding to people on Twitter nonstop.
Well, 617,
the Andy Hart story.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. OMF comes in at 2 o'clock. Bill Belichick will join them at about 5:30 or so. We're at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.